Good morning, welcome back to Nachi Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Iyov Perek Vov, the sixth Perek of Iyov. To put things back into context, at this point in time, Iyov has expressed his terrible, extreme pain in his first speech, to which Eliphaz, his first friend, has now retorted and made certain veiled accusations at Iyov that there's no way that Iyov could be suffering this way were it not for something which he did to deserve this. Our Perek is the beginning of Iyov's response to Eliphaz. Perek Vov and Zion are part of Iyov's response. So this is the first two parts of that speech that Iyov is presenting in response to Eliphaz. As an overview, our Perek is made up of 30 psukim, and Iyov is retorting to a number of the claims made by Eliphaz. Just a reminder, Eliphaz claimed a number of things. He claimed that there's no such thing as suffering without sin in this world. He claimed that everything in this world is directly from Hashem. There's nothing which is left up to the star signs, the mikre, the give and take of this world, and that tzaddikim will suffer in order to save them from future destruction. Therefore, they get smaller suffering now to cleanse them of problems they had in the past. Let's begin the perek. The perek is roughly divided up into two main sections. The first section is the first 10 psukim, and the next section is the last 20 psukim in this perek. But let's take it point by point. The way that we're going to do it is we're going to work with the Malbim's breakdown of steps in terms of Iyov's argumentation. So in the first few psukim, the first three psukim, he makes his first point. Eliphaz, you know, you argued that Iyov's willingness to jump up and accuse God is a sure sign that Iyov didn't really trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the first place. If the first thing he does is he shoots from the hip and he starts cursing Hashem, that is a clear sign that Iyov wasn't at the beginning really so close, so connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Almighty. And Iyov responds and he says, Lu shakol yishokel ka'asi. If you were to weigh up my anger that I expressed at Hashem, v'avosi b'moznayim yisu yochad, and what I experienced, the pain and suffering that I experienced, on the other hand, says Iyov, they would not match in any way of looking at it. Meaning, you think that I jumped up and spoke against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is not the case. I have so much suffering. The small amount that I mentioned in my speech is nothing incommensurate to the suffering I experienced. It's reminiscent of a Hasidic story about a particular fellow that the Rebbe would send people to listen to. And it came before Yom Kippur. It was just at the Siddur of Sekes. And the fellow would sit down by himself. He had a book which he had on his shelf. And he'd read the book and he'd have a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he'd say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, this year I did this and this. Look at my ledger. I wrote down all the things that I really wasn't supposed to do. I misbehaved. I didn't keep up to my promises. I wasn't a good Jew. Then he pulls out another book off the shelf and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but look, I'm looking at what you did to me. You killed the cow this year. The business wasn't so good. Not everything happened. No, not everybody was healthy. The parnasa wasn't so good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you didn't behave like you were supposed to. So you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll call it quits. I'll be acquitted for what I did this year, which was misbehavior. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will atone for what you did to me. And we'll call it quits. We'll start afresh. It's a famous story which is told. And what Iyov is saying over here is that it doesn't work that way. I have suffered so much that even the little bit that I expressed is not in no way matching what you described. That's what Iyov says in his first point. The next point is Psukim Dalad to Zion, where he makes a second point. Eliphaz, you know, you said the suffering of a tzaddik is for a sin that he did in the past, and you accuse me of doing a sin, and it's to cleanse the misdeed. So Iyov says, but it doesn't make sense. It was too much. He says, you know what, I haven't been corrected. I've been destroyed. I've been completely destroyed. He says, in the end of the day, he describes, but animals, you know, animals don't need extra in their food. They don't need to have like salted hay. They just eat, you know, cows eat their hay. He says, but you know what? He says, I am so in pain that I can't even eat. I can't even basic food. I can't even eat anymore. It's so painful. That's where he's at. He makes his third point is Psukim Ches to Yud, where here he retorts to Eliphaz's argument that if you were to just accept the Yisurim, if you were to accept the Yisurim Ba'avo with love, HaKadosh Baruch would bring him out of this situation. So Yosef says, you know what? I don't want to live. I am praying to die. It is too painful to be alive right now. Mi yitain tovoi she'elo siva sikfos yitain eloiga. You know, let Hashem answer my prayer. That is, kill me. I don't want to be alive. You tell me I want, if I were to just accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment with love, I would be alive. I don't want to be alive. That's what Eeyore says. You say to me that, you know what? No, I'll get completely better. And then he responds to this in point four. Psukim Yud Aleph to Yud Beis. And in this section he says, I don't have anything else to hope for. Everything's been taken away. My family, my possessions, my health. There's nothing left. It cannot be restored. My life has been destroyed. There's nothing left. He comes to point five. This is a very painful point. This is where he pivots more away from himself and the degree of suffering that he's experienced. And now he pivots towards his friends. He feels his friends are betrayers. And the image in this, this description over here is in point five. Is he makes the first thing he says is, look, you claim you had this vision at night, Eliphaz, right? You said you had this vision and that tzaddikim never suffer without there being sin. So let me ask you a question. So if the whole point of getting that nevuah was in order to be able to give me some sort of chizuk, to know that I have something I need to fix, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me, that it was Hashkocha Hashem, you think that's all about it? You know, then you know what? The nevuah should have come to me. Sukim Yud Gimel to Yud Dalet. He says, you know what? Ein ezra siki ubi v'sushia nidcha mimeni. Why was it that the prophecy was taken away from me? If Hashem wants to give me the chizuk, then he should give the chizuk to me, not to you, Eliphaz. You know, it reminds me of the story about there was a rabbi in a particular town, and he grew old and he passes away one day. And naturally, they assume that the Bechor is going to be the one who's going to go stand in instead. And the rabbi has a number of sons, and so the firstborn assumes the role. Halfway through the Shiva, the second in line calls everybody to the town hall. They call him to the shul. They say, you know, I wanted to tell you before I'm the Edo that I had a dream last night, and my father came to me in a dream and said, you know, I should be the one who's going to be the Rav in the place of my father. And everybody says, wow, the Rav came to him in a dream. It must be that, you know, the Rav really must want his second son to be the Rav, not the first son. And then one fellow said at the back, he says, look, if your father wanted us to choose you as the Rav, he should have come to us in the dream. Eeyore says, if you think you have the truth because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you messages, why didn't he come to me with a message? That's what he says in Pesukim Yud Gimel to Yodana, the way the Malbim understands it. And now he turns on his friends in point six in a very strong way. Pesukim Tezvav to Chof Gimel. He says a very powerful thing. He says, you know, you're like a river. He says a river is a boygade, is a betrayer in two ways, the way the Malbim explains it. Achai bogdu chmoi nachal. My friends have betrayed me like the river. Why? So he gives two examples of why a river betrays. He says in the winter what happens is there's lots of kerach, there's lots of snow that freezes over, there's a huge amount of snow and ice adrift, and you look at it and you say, you know what, it's going to, when it flows again, there'll be so much, it's going to provide so much. But you know what happens? When the spring comes and things start to thaw and the river starts melting, then there's this extreme amount of water which is now hurtling downstream, and it washes away the riverbanks, and it washes away the harbors, and it washes away the villages, and all the things that you thought was going to help, it ends up hurting. That's the one way it rebels. And the other way it also betrays is that you look at it and you say, no, look, after even it washes away things, maybe there'll still be left some clean, fresh water which will be able to satiate me. So he says, but I looked towards to the river, and by the time I wanted to go get something, it already dried up midsummer. So he says, I look to you. My friends, you came to me and you were quiet. For 7 days, you're quiet. You listened to me. I thought, you're like the snow. You're quiet. You're not moving right now. You're going to be able to help me. But then what happens is you wash me away. Not only did you wash me away, I look to you. Maybe there's something in your arguments which might give me fresh water, but it evaporates. There's nothing left. You didn't give me anything with which I could use, the way the Malbim understands this. And finally, in the last Pesukim, Chof Gimel to Lamed, he says, and this is so powerful, he says, you know what? He is Chof Dalet to Lamed. Hoiruni v'ani acharish. You know, teach me, give me a lesson, I'll keep quiet. Umashagisi havinuli. You know what? I asked you what was our mistake? I'll listen. You want to be honest with me? I'll listen. I'm all ears. But you know what? I asked you a question. And you didn't answer the question. Instead of answering the question, why is that I'm suffering so much? You know what you started doing? You started accusing. You started finding who's to blame for this. And you pointed towards me. You told me about dreams at night. You told me about theological conjectures. Well, you know what? This isn't a game in philosophy. This isn't philosophy 103 in college. You know what? This is my life which is at stake. I'm in the defendant's dock, and it's whether I'm at Tzaddik or Rosha, which is or what happening. Don't bring your empty conjectures. Don't bring your dreams to me as if you know what's about what I'm about. He says, Af al yoson tapilu v'sichru al re'ehem. You don't throw against me the orphan your burdens and dig pits for your friend. How could you do that to me? That's what Eeyore says to Eliphaz. Very, very strong words over here. And he says, I'm willing to listen. He says, but hayesh bilshani avlo im chiki lo yavin havois. But do you think I was lying when I told you that I am as I am inside, as I am outside? You seem to think I was deceiving you and that really I'm a Rosha inside, but I wasn't telling you. Do you think I was lying to you? And that's how Eeyore ends this first part of the speech. Very, very strong point. I'd like to close with one last fascinating point that the Malim raises in his introduction to this whole speech of Eeyore, this second speech of Eeyore now. And he says a very powerful thing. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, which describes the question about how does a person attain Shlemus, completion. Reish Lakish says, based on the Pasuk in Yeshaya, the Pasuk says, Lachain harchiva sha'ol nafsho, uparapia levili chayk. The Pasuk says, therefore the netherworld has enlarged itself and opened its mouth without measure, levili chayk. So why was the netherworld opening its mouth to absorb people? So Reish Lakish says, because levili chayk, if a person is yet to fulfill 613 mandates, if you miss one of them, even one of them, the levili chayk, one missing, you're done, finished, gone. Reish Yochanan says, wait, yay. Yochanan says, God forbid. He says, nobody's going to be left. Nobody will enter there. Nobody fulfills everything. He says, Elo, afilu lo lamad elo chayk echad. Even if you didn't do one thing, that's when you get absorbed into the netherworld, if you didn't do anything. But you did even one thing, that's sufficient to avoid it. Which means Rabbi Yochanan is saying, it's not an objective list. It's dependent on circumstance and wherewithal that you had in your life. So to a certain person, one achievement, one changing a middah, one mitzvah, is like changing the entire world for others who had more access. Whether it be subjective or objective, is Machlokes Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Very fascinating discussion in and of itself. The Malam says, either which way, Eeyore is saying to Eliphaz, it doesn't make sense. You're telling me HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished me in order that I should become better and to correct me for the future and to take away the sins of the past. Well, he crushed me. He put me into prison because I was late to work one day. Well, putting me in prison is not going to make me any earlier to work in the future days. It's not going to allow me to objectively fill the quota or subjectively fill the ability of what I'm supposed to be doing if you took away everything. And that's what Eeyore is responding to Eliphaz, and this is what the Malbim adds, is just a very powerful addition to this. In the meantime, this closes the first half of his speech. We'll continue, God willing, in Perek Zayin. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.